Our gospel reading for today comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So I invite you to join me in listening for a fresh word from God today. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet." "Can you be done now, Mama?" I don't recall exactly when I heard these words. It was a long time ago when I was parenting two young children. And I do recall, though, exactly where I was. I was in the kitchen, busy with my many tasks. I was probably doing dishes from one of those constant stream of meals that two preschool-age kids require. And while my hands were busy, my mind was a million miles away. I suspect I was writing a lesson plan for Sunday, or maybe thinking through next week's sermon, or in a completely useless and counterproductive move, I was probably reliving last week's difficult committee meeting in my head, thinking what I could have said or done differently. Did I mention that I multitasked a lot? And this whole time, my children sat right within my line of sight. They were making coffee in their pretend kitchen. You can probably picture it, one of those plastic kitchens that kids love to play with. And so they sat expectantly, arms outstretched, to pass me my pretend coffee cup. Did I mention that I drank a lot of coffee in those days too? This was my kids' favorite way to engage me in play. And they sat there holding out the pretend coffee, just hoping that I would sit and pretend to drink it with them. Because my kids didn't care about the dishes. They didn't even care what I was going to serve for dinner, and they certainly didn't care about next Sunday's sermon. But they cared for me. And at that moment, they wanted me to join their coffee hour and simply be present. They wanted my time. They wanted my attention. My children wanted me. And so my preschooler asked those words that I still remember, "Can you be done now?" This is what I hear Jesus asking today. "Can you be done now, Martha?" Because you see, Jesus has been in the middle of a whirlwind of activity. And to top it all off, he knows he's going to die. And he knows it's going to be soon. And yet every day he goes out and he does the work. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's healing. He's casting out demons, bringing a little girl back to life. His work is hard. And so when he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things," he isn't rebuking her. He just wants her to take a break. And maybe Jesus would like a break too. And so when I hear this story, I like to imagine that Jesus has been anticipating this visit all week. Maybe time spent in the home of his friends, Mary and Martha, is a kind of respite, a time away from the road warrior lifestyle and the constant demands of being the Messiah. Maybe he just wants time with friends, with chosen family. And so when Martha, filled with righteous indignation, turns to Jesus for validation, he looks at her, loves her, and offers her permission to simply be. He says, "Martha, few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, as any parent or teacher can tell you, do not ever compare one sibling to the other. So unfortunately, Jesus' words have created this kind of Mary versus Martha smackdown. In one corner, there's Martha, hard at work, hosting a hungry bunch of disciples. And in the other corner, there's Mary, the teacher's pet, ready to sit at the rabbi's feet and soak up his wisdom. This has created this false dichotomy. Are you a Mary or a Martha? And at times, this has even contributed to the denigration of women's work. The idea that Jesus is looking down his nose at the kinds of tasks women are often asked to perform. But see, here's the thing. Luke never says Martha was busy in the kitchen. Maybe she was making her famous hummus, but it's just as likely that her many tasks included running the family business, distributing clothing to widows and orphans, or performing one of many essential tasks of ministry. We don't know. What we do know is that Jesus validates Mary's place as his student, and that he invites Martha to join her. This is big, because in Jewish tradition, studying the Torah was called the good portion. Students would often learn at the feet of a rabbi. So once again, Jesus is upsetting convention, encouraging Mary and Martha to take on this role ordinarily reserved for men. But Martha's too angry to do it. She's self-righteous. She needs validation. And I can't say that I blame her, because I think we've all felt like Martha at one time or another. Maybe at work, maybe at home, where we bear the emotional labor or handle the maintenance that nobody else notices. So we might get a little hot under the collar when Jesus doesn't immediately take Martha's side. And wouldn't that be so satisfying? Wouldn't it be perfect if Jesus said, "Martha, sit down, my friend, put your feet up. Okay, disciples, come on. These dishes are not going to wash themselves, so look lively. Help Martha. Help her distribute the clothes to those widows and orphans. Let her take a breather." But of course he didn't, because Jesus is and was fully a human of his place and time. So I'm not going to ask him to adhere to modern standards of division of labor. And perhaps more importantly, this really isn't a story about division of labor. It's a story about relationships, friendship, love, the people who offer us safe landing, like Mary and Martha do for their friend Jesus. And it's a reminder that Jesus doesn't love us because of what we do, how much we produce, or even how well we serve him. Jesus loves us because of who we are. And that's why I feel sorry for Jesus today. He tells Martha that just one thing is needed, and that one thing is her presence, her attention. Jesus is thinking to himself, "Martha, I am running out of time, and the time that I have left, I want to sit with my friends." And so perhaps that's what Luke's story is saying for us today. Can we hear Jesus saying to us, "Friend, you are worried and distracted by so many things. Can you be done? Can you just come sit with me a while? Because the free time I have, I would like to spend with you. And if we can imagine Jesus asking that of us, maybe we can imagine ourselves answering yes. Yes, Jesus. But then we wonder, well, how? What does it even look like for me to spend time with Jesus? You know, and I think for some of us, it might look exactly like Mary. Some of us are really good at spending time in learning and prayer and meditation. But for others, it might look just like Martha, minus the worries. Because Martha's words, "Mary has left me with all the work," can also be translated, "Mary has left me with all the service." For many of us, service is the place that we meet God and each other. But sometimes working hard in the name of Jesus doesn't draw us closer. It has the exact opposite effect, making us worried or resentful or just plain tired. And so my colleague Nanette Sawyer tells a story in her book, Hospitality, the Sacred Art, in which week after week, she found herself preparing a weekly meal for her spiritual community, once again, all by herself. She was exhausted, drained, and started to feel resentful that no one else was helping. Nanette writes this: "What was intended to be connective and life-giving had become for me isolating and a burden. And so what did Nanette do? Well, in the midst of busyness, she decided to stop rushing around and to simply tune into how she felt. And once she realized how worried and distracted she was, she first decided to be generous to herself. She chose to make the work fun, not by changing the work, but by changing her attitude. Then she decided to pour out all the love she felt for this community into the meal, creating the most nourishing and gorgeous feast possible. With this new perspective, she found she could be more generous toward others, and she could invite them to share the work next time around." Because like Nanette, when we find joy in the work that we're doing, it can become this conduit to building and deepening relationships. Like Abraham, who offered hospitality to strangers and found himself entertaining God, we find that we are more able to treat everyone we encounter as though they are Jesus. And so when our deacons serve communion, they're serving us and they're serving Jesus. When our Sunday night supper volunteers serve our guests, they are serving Jesus in the faces, the hands and feet of everyone they see. But when we find that this kind of service is making us tired or cranky or resentful, may we hear Jesus say, "Friend, I choose to be with you, not because you're productive, but because you are you." And when we feel that way, may we give ourselves permission to be done so that we might sit with those around us as though we are seated at Jesus' feet. Because those children I pretended to drink coffee with, they are teenagers now. One of them leaves for college next month. And all these years later, I have no memory of what that Sunday school lesson was that I was writing in my head. But I do remember sitting on that couch, drinking glug, glug, glug. That was delicious. Cup after cup of pretend coffee, seeing Jesus in the face of a couple of kiddos who just wanted the attention of their mom. Sometimes, my friends, we have no choice but to produce. We have to work. We have to earn a living to put a roof over our heads and food on the table. And sometimes we can choose to be non-productive. We may not create or make anything except for friendships and memories. And when we do, may we remember, either way, we are enough. We are more than enough for Jesus. Because Jesus tells us, you aren't what you produce. You are who you love. You are who you befriend. You are mine. And all I want, Jesus says, is to spend time with you just as you are. And so, friends, I invite you to just take a moment. Take a nice deep breath. And let it out. Close your eyes if you want to. You don't have to. But I want you to hear in Jesus' words an invitation that I hope you can return to again and again as you need it. Jesus says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still. Be. To God be the glory. Amen.